Thanks, Daryl. Well, as Daryl said, I felt that God had put something on my heart about worship tonight. Now, I'm not going to do a teaching session on worship. I'm not going to do a word study on worship. I don't want to educate you about worship. What I want to do tonight is just share some thoughts, really, that I felt that God has been reminding me of. And you know what? I think we probably know this stuff. But what I want tonight, and I hope you do too, is for a revelation of the Spirit. Because that's what we need, isn't it? We don't want education. We actually need the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So can we just pray? Oh, Jesus. Lord, we acknowledge tonight and confess tonight that what we need is you. Lord, and I pray that for each one of us that you will impart something fresh into our spirits tonight on this subject of worship. Jesus, whatever our understanding is, whatever our knowledge is, God, I pray by your Spirit that you will ignite something afresh in our spirits about worship. Because worship is in essence Spirit communicating with Spirit. Lord, it's a spiritual activity and we want to worship you in spirit and in truth. Lord, we want to enter into that mystery of worship. We want to experience that dynamic of worship that changes us, that transforms us, and ultimately the world around us. So, Lord, I pray, God, open our ears, open our eyes, open our hearts. Lord, we open ourselves to you tonight. Oh, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I'm not here to persuade you tonight that you need to worship. I hope I don't have to tell anybody here tonight that worship is a good thing. I hope I don't have to tell anybody tonight that actually worship is what we were created for, because I think probably most of us have already understood that. Worship is what we were made for. We were created to worship. And I hope that every single one of us has lots of reasons, if we have to list them, why we worship. You know, we have so many reasons to worship God. God deserves our worship. Now, Daryl spoke a few months ago from Romans 12, and he talked about that passage that talks about us being a living sacrifice, the whole of our lives being an offering of worship. And he explained that worship is literally what's worth it. It is about giving worth to something. But tonight, what I want to focus on is what we would call the act of worship, when we actually, with our mouths, worship Jesus. Now, we know that that's only a part of the picture, isn't it? Because our whole lives, as I said, and Daryl shared so well before, are an offering of worship to Jesus. But I want to focus on that specific thing tonight. And you know what? Worship is not for us. We know that. Our worship is for Jesus. Worship is because he's worth it. Worship is what he deserves, is what he can quite rightly demand from us. But he wants us to come to him with hearts that want to worship him. But you know what? Something that God has been just reigniting in my spirit is what worship accomplishes for us. And I am just really excited at the moment about what worship can do. And so I just want to share just a few thoughts, really. And it kind of started over the last few weeks, as most of you will be aware, my dad died about a month ago. And during that time, particularly while Martin was away, I just found worship was what kept me going. God gave me a new whole revelation about this whole subject of worship. I love to worship. I don't find it hard work. I love to worship. But you know what? Sometimes in those moments of grief, sadness, difficulty, desperation, worship can be the last thing that we feel like doing, can't it? Yeah? But I found that worship was what kept me going, because worship was what connected me to the source of everything that I need. And I think it might have been a Tuesday prayer meeting during that time, we sang, Jesus, we enthrone you. As we worship, build your throne. Lord, as we worship, build your throne. And God just spoke to me very clearly in that moment and said, Wendy, that's what you need. That's why worship is so key for you, because what you need is for me to be enthroned in your life. Because when I'm enthroned in your life, you know that everything is okay because I'm making him Lord. And when he's Lord and he's in charge, I can rest. I can rest. What I need most is for Jesus to be enthroned. That's what he told me. That's what he spoke to me about. Now, I know that I need that all the time, but I found during those times when I was perhaps more conscious of my own fragility, my own need, that God showed me, you know, when he's in charge, I can relax. Everything changes when he's in charge. And that's what got me through. Psalm 22 verse 3 says, yet you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And that word praise in that verse means that song of adoration, thanksgiving. He is enthroned on the praises of Israel. He is enthroned on our praises. What does that mean? Well, enthroning Jesus means just that, putting him on the throne, making him Lord. Now, we know Jesus is Lord, isn't he? Fact. We can't change that. It's absolute truth. But when we enthrone him, we are establishing his lordship in our lives. We are declaring to every principality and power that Jesus is in charge, that Jesus is Lord. Now, do you want to see the kingdom of God come to earth? Yeah? We pray, Lord, let your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, what is the kingdom of God? The kingdom of God is where Jesus is king, where Jesus is ruling supreme. The kingdom of heaven, it's that heaven on earth, which is what we want, isn't it? You know, that peace of heaven on earth. When we see somebody healed, what we're seeing is a peace of heaven on earth. When we're set free from something that's been attacking us, getting us down, it's that heaven coming to earth, heaven coming to our life. If we want to see the kingdom of God, then we need to be enthroning Jesus. And I believe worship is key to that. Worship is key to seeing the kingdom of God come to earth. I really believe that. Because when we worship, we are enthroning him in our lives. We are making him Lord. We are, as I said, declaring that he is Lord, that he is the one that's in charge. We're creating an invitation to him that he can't ignore. In the King James Version, that verse says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. That word inhabit means to dwell, to remain, to abide. When we praise and worship, he comes to dwell. He comes to abide. He comes to remain. Do we want Jesus to be abiding in us, with us, to remain with us, to draw close to us, to rest on us? That's what worship does. Anybody here feel like you need more of Jesus? Yeah? Well, then we need to worship. Because worship invites his presence. worship opens the gates, opens the door for him to come. That psalm that I just quoted verse 3 of, I just want to read a few more verses from that psalm, because it's interesting to look at the context of that verse. So, Psalm 22 starts with, my God, why have you forsaken me? Anybody been there? Yes? I think most of us probably have at some point. Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. Yet, you are holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. And then the psalmist goes on to say, our ancestors put their trust in you and you delivered them. They cried out to you and they were saved. But then he looks at himself and he says, but I am a worm and not a man. Anybody felt like that? But look at me, I'm so pathetic. But he comes back to that. Verse 19, but you, Lord, be not far from me. You are my strength. Come quickly to help me. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. That word praise there actually means to boast. I will boast about you. I will tell everybody how great you are, even when I'm feeling in the pit. I can boast in the assembly of your people. You know, as we gather together, we want to boast about our God, don't we? We want to tell everybody how great he is. We want to tell one another, my God is good. My God is for me. My God is great. My God is bigger. Even when we might be in those places where we might be thinking, well, God, I don't quite know where you are in all this. But I will boast about my Lord. There's different words used for worship, even in this psalm. And one of the other verses that talks about worship is the word is actually bow down before. And, you know, that is, in essence, is of worship is a recognition that we are nothing and he is everything. You know, we bow before him. We come to him in that place of dependency, of need very often, desperation at times. We bow down before him because we recognize who he is. It's a place of our own frailty, if you like, but we come before him as the one who is everything that we need. The creator of the universe, the maker of heaven and earth, the one who has saved us, the one who never leaves us, the one who draws close to us. Worship, so important, even in those times, or perhaps especially in those times, certainly my experience. And worship, you know, for me, worship brings revelation. You know, it talks about how we worship in spirit and in truth in the Bible. That's how we should worship. But you know what? I feel that worship is a spiritual activity. It's our spirits connecting with the Spirit of God and the Spirit of God within us. But truth comes as we worship too. I believe that as we worship, we have revelation. We, you know, God can reveal things to us about ourselves. Yeah? Sometimes we might feel the extent of our sin in the presence of the holiness of God, but we don't have to stay in that place because our God is the one who forgives us and cleanses us. We might, you know, sometimes we might be faced with the truth of ourselves, but then we're also faced with the truth of who God is and the truth of what he's done for us. And that truth is what sets us free. Freedom comes as we worship. Because truth is revealed and truth sets us free. We worship him in spirit and in truth. He can open our eyes. You know, that's why, you know, very often the prophetic words from God are often released in worship. When there's worship and that atmosphere releases that prophetic. God speaks. He helps us to, that the spiritual things that we can connect with, that we can understand, that we can have revealed to us when we worship God. But worship also changes the atmosphere. Claire spoke last week, you know, about the change in atmosphere when you talked about who do you say that I am? On that, and that story of Paul and Silas in the prison. You know, earlier in the year, or a few months ago when we were reading through Acts, I'd read these couple of passages about these two stories of release from prison. There was Peter in Acts 12 who was asleep in the prison, and then the angel came and led him out. Do you remember that story? The angel led him out all the way out of the prison, and then he realized he wasn't dreaming. He was actually been freed, and he went to the home of the believers there, and they'd been praying for him, but they were so full of faith, they didn't believe it was him when he actually came to the door. And then there's the other story in Acts 16 that Claire mentioned last week, where Paul and Silas were in prison and they were praising God. And as they were praising God at midnight, they were in a terrible kind of state in terms of the environment they were in. They praised God and the foundations of the prison shook. And the doors of the prison were opened, and not just the doors of their own cell, but the doors of every cell in the prison. And it was like this kind of like, God, I think you're trying to say something here, but I don't know what it is. And I just kept thinking about it and praying about it. And I felt like I was kind of like, oh, I just don't know quite what I feel like there's some meaning to this I need to be grasping. And then this week when I was just sort of praying about this, God said to me, one person was set free in response to prayer, but many were freed in response to worship. Now, I am not setting up a new theology here that says that prayer is not as important as worship, or that worship can sometimes, you know, can accomplish more than prayer. Please don't think that. But you know what? I just feel that worship is so powerful in bringing freedom, not just to ourselves, but that changing the atmosphere of where we are and the people that we're with. I believe that worship, and worshipping in the prison, worshipping in that point of feeling like we're in that pit, perhaps, is so powerful that it doesn't just affect our own freedom, it can affect the freedom of others. I just feel that we've not, me personally, and maybe all of us, I haven't grasped fully the power of worship. The power of praise and worship. And obviously, prayer is important and flows out of that worship. That's why when we have prayer meetings, we worship. Because we're connecting, we're focusing, we're making sure that we're giving the right position. We're enthroning Jesus. Before we do anything else, we want to enthrone him. We want to create an environment that he can come and speak to us and guide us in our praying. A familiar story in 2 Chronicles 20 with Jehoshaphat. If you remember, he was faced with an army, and God spoke to him and said, you know, you're going to see victory. I'm going to win the victory for you. But what he did was he set people ahead of the army to praise God. To praise him. And as they praised, ambushes were set for the enemy. God defeated the enemy as they were praising him. There is power in praise. I believe worshiping Jesus opens the door for him to defeat our enemies, to bring breakthrough. If we need breakthrough in our lives, there's areas of our lives we need breakthrough. Worship. Worship the God of the breakthrough. Worship changes us. This morning, Daryl was speaking about joy. The transforming power of joy. You know, when we worship, I believe joy comes because we focus on the one who is the God of joy. You know, the one who holds our lives in his hands. The one who transforms our lives. I believe the impact of worship is upward, inward, and outward. It's upward because we look to him He changes our perspective on situations. We fill our mind with him. We focus on him. We look to him. That increases our faith as we look to him. But it's inward because we're conscious of the need to change, and then we're transformed in his presence. But it's also outward because as we worship, God can equip us for what he's called us to do. I love to worship, but I can't worship all the time. I do have to go to work and cook dinner and, you know, all those things that are part of life. But God can use us to change the atmosphere of the situations we go into. It's like when we're worshiping, it's like that aroma, if you like. We're rubbing next to Jesus and it rubs off on us, being in his presence. And then we carry that presence into the situations that we go into. I read this quote: real worship changes everything we do, because it changes who we are. I believe worship can change us, transform us. We can be transformed in his presence. So I want us to worship tonight. Anybody up for some worship tonight? Because, Daryl, you can come back up. You know, we have no right to withhold our worship, actually, because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords demands our worship, in the sense of he deserves our worship. But you know what? He invites us to worship, not just because he is worth it, because of who he is, but because actually he wants to transform us. He wants to change us. He wants to inspire us. He wants to speak to us. He wants his presence to fill our lives. And sometimes, you know what? We have to just make a choice. I'm gonna worship. We don't always feel like it, do we? Let's be honest. And in those times when things are tough, as I said in Psalm 22, you know, if you're thinking tonight, God, where are you? I feel like you've left me. I feel a bit like I'm in a place I can't get out of. But you know what? When we worship Jesus, we can get a different perspective on things, because we're focusing on him, because we are enthroning him, because we are giving him an opportunity to draw close to us. You know, someone once said that worshiping Jesus is like building a landing strip for his presence. What we're doing is we are inviting him. We're creating an atmosphere that he can't resist. He can't resist. If worship is about worth, we worship what is worth the most. What is worth the most in your life tonight? What's the most worthy thing in your life tonight? You know, we can spend a lot of time on a lot of things, but I'd like to suggest to you tonight that there's one person who's worth the most tonight. So we're going to worship.